Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tuppers Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today, because according to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I trust this message will increase your faith as you listen to what God has for you today. God bless and enjoy. We're going to read, beginning with verse 11. Hallelujah. You know, before we start, I just want to have another word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for your word. As we read your word, as we study your word this morning, we ask, Lord, that your words would come forth, that your direction would touch each and every person in this place, Lord, that we will hear what you want us to hear. Not necessarily what I might say, but what your Spirit says. Father, allow this to happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges chapter 6, beginning in verse 11, we are looking at the story of Gideon, one of the judges. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the Timnath tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abzarite." I'm having a hard time with that name for some reason. "While his son Gideon threshed wheat in a winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Obviously, Gideon did not feel like a mighty man of valor at that point in his life. In fact, he felt like the lowest of the low. And he said so. Gideon said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all these miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' So he said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.' Then he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you.' And behold," and he said, "I will wait until you come back." So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephod of flour. Then the wheat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot. And he brought them out to him under the Timnath tree and presented them. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Take the meat and unleavened bread and lay them on the stick and pour out the broth." And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And the fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." The Lord is peace. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. Gideon was not living in peace at that time. Gideon and all of Israel, they were living in a very difficult time where the Midianites ruled over them. The Midianites would not allow them to have any kind of weapons. They could use farm tools, but that was about all they were allowed to have. The Midianites kept them oppressed and depressed all the time. They would come in and ravage their crops. They would try to plant, and they would destroy and burn up their crops and do all kinds of evil to the children of Israel. And yet God himself spoke to Gideon and said, "You are a mighty man of valor." I tell you this morning, Gideon called that his Lord the Lord of peace, because the Lord showed up on his behalf. The Lord made it clear that Gideon had all the power that he needed to be able to do all that God had called him to. It wasn't his power. He recognized that. He recognized he was a low person in his own clan, and his clan was one of the least. But he recognized something about himself at that point, that he was able to do it because of the power of the Lord. And the Lord was imparting peace to him. Altars and offerings have always been a part of the Israelite worship of Yahweh. God instructed Moses concerning the altar and the peace offerings. In Exodus 20:24, it says this, "An altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you. I will bless you." There was blessing associated with the proper sacrifice and sacrificing the way that God intended for his people to sacrifice. A proper altar and offering has always been associated with blessing. A proper altar in our heart is also associated with the blessing of God. When we have our hearts right with the Lord, we have set up the altar to worship the God who gives peace and departs peace into our hearts. In Leviticus chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "When his offering is a sacrifice, a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord." The Old Covenant book of Moses and the Levites outlines five special Levitical fire offerings and sacrifices: burnt offering, meal offering, peace offering, sin offering, and trespass offering. But one of those that you will notice is a peace offering. Peace offering is also known as the fellowship offering or communion offering. The Hebrew word for peace from this peace offering is zebak shalom. Literally, it means sacrifice of pieces. The second word comes from the well-known Hebrew word shalom. Has everybody heard the Hebrews, Jews, use the word shalom? If you've listened to any of the Jewish rabbis, Messianic rabbis or otherwise, you will hear them use that term often. Shalom means peace. And it's shalom is used interchangeably for a greeting when you meet somebody and also when you say farewell, shalom. Because you are imparting peace upon that individual. This sacrifice was a voluntary sacrifice. It was a thanksgiving offering. It emphasized the completeness, the well-being, and the harmony and the relationship that we have with Almighty God. This peace offering, after the offering was made, then the individual would take back the majority of the offering and have a ceremonial meal with Almighty God. What we're talking about here is really the forerunner of what we call communion. A time of communing with Almighty God. When we commune with God with the right relationship, God's peace is imparted in our hearts. And my God, our God knows that we need peace today in this place, in this world that we live in. We need to have the peace of God that resides inside of us, because there are so many fearful and ungodly things that are going on. If you allow this world to bring fear upon you, it will put you in bondage every day of your life. The peace offering brings right relationship with the Lord. A distinct feature of the ritual of the peace offering was the common meal. that took place afterwards. And it always signified that you now had peace with God. And as I said, it was a forerunner of what we know as communion today, which signifies our peace with God through Jesus Christ. Ordained of God. I didn't really think about it this morning, but that we had communion today when I'm talking about this. Because when we take communion as a congregation, we are entering into this peace understanding with our God. As a group of people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him, when we take communion together, we feel the peace of God in this place and in our hearts. When Gideon saw the angel of the Lord, he said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Gideon was afraid he was going to die. And the angel said, "Be still. The peace of God is here. You're going to be okay." So Gideon built an altar and he named it, "The Lord is peace." Many scholars believe that when the angel of the Lord is mentioned in Scripture, it's a pre-incarnate Jesus, an example of Christ in this earth. Because we have peace with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the peace of God in our hearts. It reigns. It should be reigning in our hearts. It should have preeminence in our heart, the peace of God. This morning I want to give you five things about peace that's found in the Word of God. Number one, we are commanded to do good and seek peace. Peace is something that we can chase after. Peace is something that we can find if we search for it. Psalms 34:14 says, "Depart from evil, do good, and seek peace and pursue it." Chase after peace. Find peace. Don't be a person that stirs up trouble and issues and causes conflict in other people's lives. Do your best to live in peace with all mankind. In Matthew 5:9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Now, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, guess what? You are a child of the Most High God. Therefore, you should be a peacemaker. Believers in Jesus Christ, several places it's mentioned that we are children, sons, daughters of the Most High God. Now, to be a peacemaker doesn't mean that we shy away from controversial issues. It just means that we talk about it and deal with it in such a way that we're not intentionally causing controversy, intentionally trying to be pushy or violent about our position. Everything that we do should be done in peace and with an attitude of comforting other people and encouraging other people. One of the great men, I believe, of my time has been David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson preached to the gangs in New York City. Of course, David Wilkerson passed away a few years ago. But David Wilkerson was a prophetic man who warned this nation that if we don't change our ways, judgment is coming. That prophetic utterance still stands today. He's not the only one that has said those things. We need repentance in this nation. We need a turning back to Almighty God. We need the glory of God to fall on this nation. Cry out for that. When you pursue peace, you're pursuing that very thing to happen in our nation. But anyhow, David Wilkerson preached to the gangs. Nicky Cruz was one of those gang members and a leader. And he threatened to cut David Wilkerson into 1,000 pieces. David Wilkerson's response was, "And every piece will still love you." That won Nikki Cruz. Not immediately, but after a period of time, it won Nikki Cruz to the Lord. Nikki Cruz is still ministering all over the world today because that one man, David Wilkerson, in peace, shared the truth of the love of Jesus Christ with him. We can do it peacefully. We can do it with love. Now, that doesn't mean that the other side's going to act the same way. We're not responsible for how someone else acts. We're responsible for our own actions. Number two, peace is a promise related to the new covenant. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Jesus is our Prince, and he is the Prince of Peace. He wants to impart peace to us. It's a new covenant principle. When we put our trust in Jesus, he imparts peace in our life. Number three, the Lord blesses his people with peace. Psalms 29:11, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. In John 16:33, it says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus made two promises to us. He's going to give us peace, and I can promise you in this world you're going to have tribulation. But don't worry about it. Don't get caught up in it. Don't allow it to overwhelm you, because my peace will forever be with you. Question was once asked, if you could choose what you want most in life, it was a survey, what would you ask for? And the most overwhelming answer was peace. People are looking for peace in their life. Many are running here and there seeking inner peace from all kinds of things, drugs, alcohol, illicit sex, entertainment, material possessions, all kinds of things in our lives. And yet, the Prince of Peace is always standing there with his arms wide open, ready to embrace us and bring us into his bosom of peace. Real peace can only come from the Prince of Peace. Columnist by the name of Deborah Mathis wrote about a time when she was at Union Station in Washington, D.C. on a particular busy day. The first thing she remembers about the experience was the noisy hubbub of sounds. The public address announcer calling out arrivals and departures, scores of pagers, walkie-talkies, cell phones cried out for everyone's attention. You could hear horns honking, machines clanking out change, and babies crying. A security guard yelled at a man who was about to enter a forbidden area. Three women stood up from their bench in order to argue with each other more loudly. And a man in front of her was nervously pacing in a tight circle. But then she heard someone singing. "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." And the singing continued. And as it continued, a slow change came over the noisy crowd, she said. The voice continued to sing. The quarreling women stopped their talking quietly and took their seats. People who had been tense and hurried seemed to slow and relax, and they strained to hear the voice singing the remaining verses of that old hymn. And Mrs. Mathis realized she was singing along, so were several other people. A man in front of her, who had been behaving nervously, quietly said, "Huh, that's so nice, and I don't even believe in Jesus." That's how the Prince of Peace. You know, it's just a simple situation. But I believe he wants to show up in situations like that all the time. Number four, God's peace gives secure rest. I said sleep, but I mean rest. I guess I did change it in my outline. Psalms 4:8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. John 14:26, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't let the enemy instill fear. Allow the peace of God to rest upon you and in you. A woman went to her doctor, and the doctor said, she asked him, I feel nervous and tense all the time. I need to find peace. And the doctor said, well, I'll tell you one way that you can find peace. Find everything in your house that you haven't finished and take care of that. Finish it. So she went home. She looked around and she started finishing everything that was in her house that she hadn't finished. That morning, she finished off a bottle of red wine, a bottle of white wine, the Prozac, a bottle of Valium, some cheesecake, and a box of chocolates. And she said, you have no idea how good I feel. That kind of peace will wear off. It's not real. But when the Prince of Peace gives you his peace, we have a whole new concept of what peace really is. Someone said it this way: this kind of peace is distinctly peculiar to Christianity. The tranquil state of a soul assured of salvation through Jesus Christ. Knowing that no matter what this world sends our way, no matter what happens, no matter what someone says or someone does, we have security in the Lord Jesus Christ, always and forever. Number five, when our ways please the Lord, we will have peace all around. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. The Society for International Law in London states this incredible statistic. Since the beginning of recorded history, the entire world has been at peace less than 8% of the time. Over the last 4,000 years of history, only 268 years saw peace. Moreover, in excess of 8,000 peace treaties have been made and broken. In the last three centuries, there has been 286 wars on the continent of Europe alone. This is a stark reminder that real peace is not going to come to this earth until the Prince of Peace returns to this earth. We're going to have to deal with wars, rumors of wars. Jesus warned us of that. We're going to have to deal with issues, problems, difficulties, things arising. But what we can be comforted in is the fact that the Prince of Peace will always be there with us and for us. He will always, always lead and direct our life. And praise God, one glorious day, he's going to split the eastern sky and set up his kingdom that will be nothing but peace for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Yes. The next name of God is Jehovah Shabbat, that means Lord of Hosts. 1 Samuel 17:41 through 47, it says this: so the Philistines came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you came to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. But David said this to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, in whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines, the birds of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Know this, that when we are in the midst of the battle, the Lord of hosts is on our side. He doesn't save by sword or spear or javelin. He saves by his spirit, by his power. It doesn't matter what the enemy has to throw at us. We have the Spirit of God completely and totally on our side. David's words show that he placed confidence in the living God, not in the stones that he gathered up, not in the sling that he had, not in his athletic ability or agility, but he placed his trust in the living God. Physical weapons are no match for the God of this world. I want you to know that. But the God of this world is no match for the living God and the Spirit of God that lives in us. For us to understand this feat that took place that day when David slung that stone and hit the giant in the forehead, between his armor, I might add, right in the right spot, the only spot to bring him down. When David did that, and then he said this to the Goliath. He said, "I'm going to cut your head off." And David didn't have a sword. David was speaking prophetically to that giant, and the giant didn't even know it. And he spoke to him, "This day I'm going to bring you down." And I want you to understand, we can speak to the giants in our life. "This day I'm going to bring you down. You're going to fall. You're going to fall by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Not by might, not by power, but the Spirit of the living God." As you think about this, to put this in perspective, this man, this giant who was probably over 9 feet tall, he was a warrior from his youth. That's what the scripture says. That means that he was prepared for battle. He had always fought. And he, you know, in the war games, in the camps of the Philistines, Goliath always won. Now, I don't know that for sure, but I can tell you that he was their champion. So that makes it sound like that's what happened, that Goliath was always the champion. He had always been the champion. He thought he was always going to be the champion. The giant that comes against you thinks it's always going to be the champion. But we've got good news. Our God is still on the throne. And he empowers us to stand against these giants. This giant had a bronze helmet. He had a coat of mail that weighed 125 pounds, a bronze armor covering his legs, a javelin with a spearhead that weighed probably 15 pounds. David, on the other hand, had a staff and a sling and 5 smooth stones that he gathered up. Didn't take all 5 of them, but he was prepared. I think that speaks volume to us. Prepare for the battle. Be ready. 1 stone may not be enough. Just be prepared. David was prepared. And he trusted in Jehovah Shabbat, because he knew that God had delivered that enemy into his hands that very day. The enemy may be physically bigger than you, monetarily bigger, bigger in all kinds of ways. He may be more protected than you, physically, legally, politically, or any other way. He may be more experienced than you, but it's not by experience, it's not by power. We have the ability to achieve similar feats as David because we serve a living God. Jehovah Shabbat. You have to keep the following in mind. Do not be afraid of all the weapons your enemies are displaying to scare you. It's a scare tactic. He's trying to scare you and get you to the point where you'll give up. The Lord doesn't save with spear, with weapons. He saves with His Spirit and with His power. Remember the words of the prophet Zechariah to Zerubbabel, who was rebuilding the temple during the time of the release of the children of Israel from Babylon. As he led the people of God back, Zerubbabel was leading the people of God back to rebuild the temple against incredible odds. We read that story, we don't realize just how incredible those odds were against those people. And yet, they accomplished it in a record time. He said this, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." That's the same word that He's giving to us today. Always remember, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies, that's what it means. He's the Lord of angel armies, and those angel armies can be dispatched on your behalf whenever you need them. Cry out to the Lord. Ask Him to dispatch the angel armies to help you, to be with you, to encourage you, to strengthen you. When Joshua was about to lead the people of God into the promised land, he encountered this same angel. Joshua 5:13 through 15, it says this, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' So he said, 'No, but as commander of the army of the Lord I have come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." Joshua encountered the commander of the angel armies. He came single. He came singularly by himself. He came to present himself to Joshua. And Joshua, when he told Joshua who he was, Joshua fell down to worship him because he realized that he was there on Joshua's behalf. Joshua asked, "Who are you for, us or our enemies?" And the angel said, I'm not for anybody except for God." And Joshua knew he was on his side because Joshua was for God. In 2 Kings 6, we get another glimpse of the power of the army we have on our side. I was going to read this whole thing, but because of time, I'm going to finish it up. 2 Kings 6:15 and 17. This is an account of Elisha and his servant. "Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' Then Elisha prayed and said, 'O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots, fire all around Elisha." That's the army that we have on our side. An awesome God who sends His angel armies to work on our behalf. Stand with me. Thank you, Father. Praise God. What an awesome God we serve. the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies. And they're all working for us, dispatched. When we cry out to God, it's incredible what God does on behalf of his believers. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus this morning, we thank you, Lord, that your word is real, it's true, and we put our faith in it. We don't always understand. We don't have a comprehension of everything that takes place. But Father, we do our best to trust you and put our faith in you. And we believe that you are the Lord of hosts. And therefore, we thank you, Lord God, this morning, as you move among your people, as we go from this place today, that your angel armies go before us. You encamp your angels around us, and you keep us. You strengthen, you encourage, and help us, Father God. Help us to recognize that even though we see in this physical realm, that there is a supernatural realm all around us where the supernatural power, the angel armies, are interacting with us and standing for us against the demonic forces of hell. Thank you, Father God. As we leave this place this morning, we trust in your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.